Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody's got the fever. This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago. Never know how much I love you. You never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a feeling that's too hard to bear. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight, fever.
Good evening, and welcome to Lenny Godfrey's Straight No Chaser. Boy, I didn't think that recording was ever going to stop. I clicked it a couple of times. I mean, you know, you all may enjoy it, but that's me singing, and I don't know how much I like hearing myself sing all the time, but welcome to Lenny Godfrey's Straight No Chaser. Let's do a little bit of the house cleaning. And then we'll get to this finale episode of the second season of Lenny Godfrey's Straight No Chaser. First of all, you know that you're on blogtalkradio.com/ S as in Sam, F as in Fred, T as in Tom, H as in Harry, and the number 2. And then you know, especially for today, if you dial 516-453-6063, not only will you hear, but you will be having a conversation with me because the guest of the evening is me. That's the surprise. I have decided that I really would like all of my wonderful guests and listeners who have been so loyal for the last 2 years, if you are on the line, if you have a moment, to have a conversation with me about what it is that you have been thinking that this program does for you and what you would like it to do in the future. I have some plans, of course, for it because I always do that. That's why I love taking the break. It allows me to rejuvenate myself, to think about other guests, what I want the guests to do, to think about the programs and to think about the arts and how I am, I guess you would say, relentless in wanting to make sure that the arts is sustained beyond my being on this planet. So, and the board is filling up, and I'm hoping those of you who are on the board will click your hands one and tell me when you want to speak. But that's what this episode, and, you know, this is the finale episode of this season. Usually I go off in May, and then I'm back late August or a little bit after September. But what I want to know is, and I'm very, very serious about this, is if this program has enlightened you at all about the arts being a culture that crosses over almost every single vocation that we have in any kind of business. Beyond being in the arts, it has influenced everything, education, sports, corporate world, everything like that. It has really been an exciting journey for me because I didn't realize starting off that I would get so many people who were not formerly in the arts to talk about how the arts had influenced their lives. It's absolutely amazing. I think that's the word that I have to say, that every job is influenced by the arts. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were saying that they didn't have something to do when they were going to just turn on the television and see what they could get. And I said, do you realize that without the television or the radio or with videos or with any of these art-initiated forms that you would not have a sense of entertainment. I think what we don't realize is if we cut everything out, if we take everything from our walls that represented art, even the paint that you paint your walls with is a mixture that some artisan put together. Without that, where would we be as a society? Where would we be as people who are enjoying our lives every time we put on a piece of clothing? It is a result of someone's imagination saying that this should fit someone. Every time if you apply makeup, that is again an artisan. Again, over and over and over again. Oh boy, the board is filling up. I'm hoping that not only will you listen to me, but you will participate in this conversation because I want to know what else I can do to further this. The first couple of episodes in the fall are already booked, and they're with people who are not necessarily initiated with people who are not performers, but who want to showcase what they're doing for the arts by showcasing some of the performance and award ceremonies. So that's one way. But what else do you want to hear and see in the after show afterthoughts when you view the guests? What else can I do? What else, you know, what am I missing? Am I missing anything? Now, I don't want to volunteer you. You know I can put you on the air. You all better put up some number one, press that number one so that I won't have to do that. But one of the things that is a concern of mine, and let me go on a little bit before I resort to volunteering my guests who are on the board, is that we are in the midst of what I believe is a very important strike, in that here in the arts, in the performing arts, in the literary arts, that people are fighting for their rights to maintain a certain status. And those of us who are in a different branch of the arts have to be aware, as the president of SAG said the other day, that this strike is for all of us. And it may specifically be fighting for something that the writers want, but I think we all want to be able to have a say in what our creativity is about. So that's one of the things that we have to keep in mind. The last time we had a strike like this, it changed the whole industry. So we have to be very careful as to how we conduct ourselves, but it's very important that we know that when we're not satisfied with something, we really do have to react to it. That's what the unions are for. With all of these, you know, dues that we pay and meetings that we go to, it's literally to keep us on track so that we don't lose focus as to why we got into this business. So, since I'm not seeing any hands now, and I have now been talking for, what, about 8 minutes. Let me ask those people who are on the board who they are, if they've been on the, oh, I've got a hand, so I don't have to, all righty. Okay, and let me let you identify yourself, and then we'll go from there. All right, and I'm welcoming. Welcome to Lenny Godfrey's Straight No Chaser. Why don't you tell me who you are, and let's go from there.
Hi, Lenny. It's Mamie Duncan Gibbs. How are you?
I'm fine.
I told you this is my favorite show. I'm hooked. Every Wednesday, my alarm goes off at 6:49, and it lets me know I've got 11 minutes to get it together. And my reminder goes off, but I look forward to this every week. And I think the show is wonderful. I get so much history. Hearing people's story firsthand from them is just so inspiring and enlightening. And I love the show. I just love the show. So I love what you're doing with it. I love that we have to listen and imagine, and then at 8 o'clock we get to go on Zoom and see them live and see who we've been listening to. I think it's a wonderful format, and I'm going to miss it, but I'm going to get caught up with all the ones that I've missed so far before I found out about the show. So during your hiatus, yes, I'll be catching up.
Yes. You know, that's one of the things that I went through my log, because I was fortunate enough. I had God bless him, he's gone now. I had a cousin who was one of the very first black operators of the movies in the cinema, the movie theaters. And when I was on Broadway, he came to me and he said, whatever you do, try to make a record of it. Whatever experiences you have, just write a little log. So when I started this program, I decided that I would write every week who had come on, and a little note next to it, what it was about, what kind of time we had. And I was just looking at all of the various names that and some of them. You this started in March 2021. So I had so many people on here that I had friendships with during my lifetime, whether they were in the business or not. And, it, you know, as I look at all these names, as I look at Chet White, as I look at Guy Davis, as I, you know, you all heard Melba, all of these different names that come across who are such great contributors to the arts. Mamie, I have a question for you, because you are an artisan in dance. I don't think that people really realize the extent of your dedication and commitment to the dance, and all of the certificates that you have in order to justify what to do. But when you think about this program, and all the kinds of different kinds of people that I've had, because before you listened in, I had the heads of symphony halls and producers, you know, those kinds of people who are not performers and why they became that. Is there any faction of our society that you'd like me to explore? I'm interested in architects and, you know, people who do things in a solitary manner. What kind of curiosity do you have when you think about people who are artisans other than yourself?
Well, you know, I think a person who really sees a lot that goes on is a stage manager, because the stage manager is the bridge between the artist and the writers, the creators. They've got to hold the fort down, and I think that would be interesting to hear what they have to say if they're not afraid to talk, because a lot of times they're the invisible one in the room.
Yes, you know. No, we had two episodes. One, the stage managers, and I had, I just want to make sure that I get everybody's name right, because I had Clinton Turner Davis, and I had Kenneth Hansen.
Oh, and you had Ken Hansen.
Yes. Well, I went to school. Now, let me just say, I say this story all the time because people don't believe me. When I went to school, I had studied voice. I had studied classically. But, of course, I got introduced to the politics of the school. So I was in SGO. And Ken would always play the piano for the talent shows. I was running for then Manhattan Council president, and Ken and I were talking, and I just started to sing something, and he just looked at me, and he said, oh, no, you have to sing on the talent show. And I said, oh, no, I'm running for political office. He said, no, you're going to sing on the talent show. So I got there, and I didn't realize there's such a fascination with the bottom voice, because most women sing very high. And I have a bottom. I have, I love my bottom. I have the high notes, but I love my bottom. So we sang Guantanamera, but I sang it like a baritone.
And oh, wow.
The school went crazy. They didn't, I mean, I was like, they knew me as a political person, but they had no idea that I had that talent. After that, I became president because everybody knew me. So it's because of Ken Hansen that I really started my career knowing what an audience wanted. Kenny was the one. He was a senior, and he was about to graduate, and I was still a sophomore. But he guided me all through that, taught me a couple of other songs and everything. It was an incredible situation. So I had him and I had Clinton, and Clinton was the stage manager for you before a while, and then, of course, has gone on to do NEC and direct and everything else. And then for the females, I had Gwen Gilliam and I had Faye Mee.
Yes.
So I had these divas on. They told it. It in fact, maybe one of the times I'll rebroadcast that.
Well, see, that's part of my homework then, to get caught up and go back and listen.
They were in August. I think they were in August of 2021.
Okay.
Yeah, they were in August.
I'm writing it down.
Yes, back to back. First I had Kenny and Clinton, and then I had Fime and Gwen. And how, I mean, it was interesting to listen to how those two people, those two genders, navigated the same kind of job.
Wow.
Because two women who, you know, had to do the same kind of job and their receptions. And also, you know, it's so very interesting that a lot of people started off, and Ken did. Ken started off as a performer. When I heard that he was stage managing, I said, stage managing? Ken should be playing, he should be conducting the orchestra. I mean, no one knows how musically adept he is. He's absolutely brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. But
I heard him sing as well.
Yes. And yes,
amazing,
you know,
voice.
He's in chorus. I'm sure maybe he did. He thought he would have a musical, career. But it's also about what the business needs at the time. The business needs. So yes, I have to tell you that was those were two episodes, and that's why I'm not obsessed, but I have my records so that I can go back and look at over this time period all the people that I've had and the different kinds of people that I've had. I've had casting people come in and I've had reporters come in and all of that. So, yes, you know, it's over 100 episodes now. So don't, you know, catch up a little bit, but don't OD on it.
Right. Well, I'll treat it like it's every Wednesday because, like I said, this has been my Wednesday evening for the past few months, and it's so much fun just to come on and, you know, wonder who's going to be on and what are they going to talk about, and everyone just shares so many magical stories. So you just pull that out of all of your guests. So it's just such a pleasure for me.
Oh, well, thank you. You know,
I don't want to make it about me, so I'm going to sneak off and just listen.
All right. Well, I see a couple of phone calls here and phone numbers, and I think I'm gonna try to sneak some people on in a few minutes if they don't raise their hands. But thank you, Mamie, for raising your hand. Thank you so very, very
much.
Thank you. You're welcome. All righty, and I have another hand that's being raised. And welcome to Lenny Gottfried Straight No Chaser. It is the finale episode with Lenny. And tell me your name and where you're from, and go on. There you go.
Hi, Lenny.
Hello.
This is Celeste.
Yes. Oh.
Hello.
Celeste. Yes.
Hi,
Celeste.
Lenny.
I never recognize your number. Do you know that? As much as I talk to you, I never recognize it when it comes on here. Absolutely no sense. Everyone, again, like Mamie, Duncan Gibbs, who is a wonderful dancer, performer, choreographer, teacher, artisan in dance. This is Celeste Bedford Walker. Both of these ladies have been on the the program. Celeste is a playwright who has just become a Guggenheim Fellow. I'm very, very proud of that. And I think she's got about 40 to 50 plays in her roster and has come on the program and talked to about a number of them. Of course, I'm a bit prejudiced on one or two of them. I love Barbara Jordan and, you know, and the Red Blood of Courage. And I love, you know, of course, Greenwood, all of those things. So this is Celeste. So Celeste, what do you think of the program? I know that you tune in from time to time, and I thank you so much, and you catch up on the video. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I just love it. I think there's nothing like it out there. I think it fills such a necessary void because it covers so many genres or fields of artistic expertise. So just like Mamie said, you never know who you're going to get when you tune in, but you know it's going to be wonderful, and you know you're going to discover somebody that you'd never known before, somebody that you had known, and you get to hear more about their work. So what I was wondering, what I was thinking, because you said that we have any ideas, and now you may have already done this. I know you've had writers on the show because you've had me on the show. So right now, mm-hmm. I kind of in this atmosphere, you know, with the writers' strike and everything going on, I'm kind of thinking about writers. And what I'm thinking about is all of these wonderful guests that you have on. Have they written any books about their particular field of expertise that they could share, like you? I don't know if you've ever shared your book, Lessons in the Spotlight. No, that's not it. What's the title, Lenny? Your book?
Sharing Lessons
while
Seeking the Spotlight.
Absolutely. Well, see, it covers so much so simply and frankly about entertainment, about the industry, because you've gone from one side of the industry to the other. You know, you've succeeded in all of the different areas, TV, film, singing, theater, and so your book is wonderful. I have a book out now. And now, you know, well, an anthology. And I'm wondering if some of the other guests, all of these wonderful guests, and then I was thinking about Mamie. I was thinking, boy, would I love to read a book by her. Because even though I know nothing about dancing, but she transcends dancing from all of the wonderful things you told me about her. You know, her mm-hmm. discipline and her dedication and her artistic ability, all of that. Boy, would I love to read an inspirational book by her. So I was just wondering, what about that, having different artists who have written books or written, mm-hmm. you know, something that they mm-hmm. wanted to share from their different
yes.
fields.
Yes.
You may have done that, and I may have missed field. That. I know you've had writers
yeah,
on.
You know, I'm going to have her come back for a second, though, because I do have a question for her. I'm going to have you come back for a second, Mamie. Mamie, have you ever thought about writing a book? You're on. Hello?
Hello? Is this me?
Are you there?
Celeste.
Yeah, you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I thought about writing a book, definitely. But it's got to be the right time, and I've got some good old stories. so
yes.
It's like, how
so
much do I want to tell? Yeah, because you want
to
make sure you inspire people, you know, as well. But yeah, I've always thought about writing a book. You know, I even thought of a title recently. As I was in the middle of teaching, I thought, ooh, that'd be a good title for a book. So I'm definitely mm-hmm. thinking about it, and if I feel like I can have a positive impact, it's something that I'd like to put out there. Because I think so many of our stories, we're moving parallel with each other. We just, you know, we have different journeys, but we're still all moving along the same path, per se. So, yeah, I think mm-hmm. so. I think so, but I want it to be something really positive and impactful. as opposed to just a gossip magazine.
I think that's what I decided to write, and I really meant when I said sharing lessons, are the journey of survival in this business. And I don't want to make it sound like it is a horrible journey, you know, like you're in the jungle and you have to survive. But there are certain, there's certain things that you need to know in order to be able to function well in this industry, and things that you, I have to be very frank, things that you, behaviors that you should have and responsibilities. And that's what my book is about. It really isn't about a lot of the stories, other than, you know, a couple of the stories that I had about my journey, how I got my first job, how I studied with somebody else, and how that studying led to preparation and everything like that. But I think your book would be very inspiring. I couldn't think that it would be anything else. I mean, you started so young and have done so many different things in the industry.
Yeah,
I've
made so many wonderful mistakes as well. And I think even through my mistakes that the magic has come about. That's, you know, the magic has happened through mistakes. So I think it's about perseverance. It's about learning, you know, as you move forward and as you navigate those errors, you know, and do you learn from it? Do you give up? So, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a good book. I'm not ready yet, but I have been pulling a few things to get ready.
Yeah,
so.
I have to say, do you really think that it was a mistake, or do you think, because see, I never think when you've learned from something, I don't think it's a mistake.
Well,
I think sometimes
I think they're mistakes. they're mistakes, but that's putting it point blank. Yeah, I mean, I made a few doozies, but I love getting back up again, you know. And I remember once I was performing in church. I was doing dance ministry, and I was running around the church, and I had this leap and a layout and all this stuff going on, and I slipped on my dress. And I fell, and I got up, and I kept going, and someone came up to me afterwards, and they said, oh, I felt so bad when you fell down. I said, oh, Lord, feel bad if I don't get back up. That's part of life, you know. Mm-hmm. So I've fallen down a lot of times, but the joy is getting back up again and finding a new way to persevere and to continue. So that's actually what I share with my students when I'm teaching at Manhattan School of Music. So that's a nice outlet for me just to share different parts of my journey and really about getting back up again. Get back up again. Because we all fall, and we all
about,
like to think. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, we all think we're the only one. And when you start talking about it, you realize we all fall down. But it's about getting back up again. And some people fall and they're too sad or too tired to get back up. And, you know, I'm all about time is going to pass, so it's about what we choose to do with it. You know, people say 12 weeks or a year. Oh, that's too long. Oh, it's going to take 5 years. That's too long. Well, when 5 years passes, what have you done with those 5 years? You know, so getting back up. So, yeah, we got a book. Now you've inspired me to get writing. So now I'm like, you know what? Let's do it.
Isn't it a really one of the gospel singers has a song, Get Back Up Again. I can't remember who it is. It's not Kurt. Well, I can't remember, but I think the key to life is the recovery, you know, because we can't all be standing straight all the time, but it is how you respond to the challenges that you've been given, and that is to move forward and to always think about that. Celeste, what event can you share now? Because now it mainly got me thinking. You know me once I get you ladies talking now. What event can you share where you got back up again?
Ooh, so many of them, Lenny. It is so many of them. And sometimes, you know, when you, as a writer or actor, anybody, you do something and maybe you don't get a good response, or you don't get a good review, or you don't get good feedback, or you know, you don't mm-hmm. you don't get the response that you want, you were expecting, and then mm-hmm. you're kind of blindsided when you don't, you know. And I mean, that just knocks the wind out of you. You know, we've all had that to happen. But sometimes we have it happen, and it happens, you know, time after time, you know, two or three times, blow after blow. And, you know, then you just kind of get to wondering, well, you know, I mean, what am I doing here? I mean, can I go on? Can I pull myself back up? I mean, you get to a point where, but then something comes in, God, the Spirit, or some person comes in and encourages you, and you find yourself back up again. So I've had the wind knocked out of me, but these last few years, it's funny that you asked that, I seem to have been getting the message from the universe, because I've been knocked down so many times, the message from the universe that says, you will never go down again. And I think you get to a certain place, a certain level of experience. It doesn't mean you won't have problems, or you won't make mistakes, or you may have some days when you're unhappy, but it means that you will never go down again.
Yeah, that down, I think for me would represent your self-esteem. The fact that mm-hmm. it has mm-hmm. made you question. It makes you question, mm-hmm. What am I doing? Why am I doing this? How, you know, mm-hmm. That kind of, I mean, not that question that you have all the time when you're in the middle of a song or a combination or something and you
right,
mess up and
right.
you go,
not
oh.
that.
No, it's the real big reason of questioning, is this for me? Am I to continue this? And I will say to you, the time, the guidance has come so that you get just that retrieve that says, yes, you are. That my father used to say, you have to have a thicker skin. You can't be too thin-skinned. You have to be a sensitive artist, but you have to have a thick skin to survive. Do you agree, Mamie?
Totally.
Okay.
Nope. I totally agree.
Yes. You know. I mean. I don't. I'm gonna let you both rest and listen, because I've got about a few other guests that I have here that I'm gonna pull out. But I think it's important that people realize that everything that glitters is not gold. Some people think mm-hmm. because you present yourself in a way and you always finished and polished, all that finishing and polishing takes a lot of work, and it's not easy all the time. It really is. And what you want to do is you want to present the best part of yourself, which is why, you know, you have all the finishing and polishing and everything. But people think, well, this person never had it hard. There's no such animal. Everybody's had to go down to get back up again. I think that was the you know, you get back up again. So I think that's one. Both of you all, I know you have Celeste an anthology, but you've got a memoir. You've got a memoir too, Mamie. You know, when you all think mm-hmm. about that, it's to the people who, you know, are down and showing them how to get back up again. That is
yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. You inspire me, Lenny. You inspire me to reach for excellence at every level. So thank you for that.
Oh, well, Mama God, I have to say the same thing. I've never seen anyone who is more comfortable with teaching movement, but also hard on yourself. You're hard on yourself. You know, well, If it messes up, it's not you, it's me. Don't worry about it. And I say, well, some of us are messing up because it's us.
Yeah, well, I just want folks to feel comfortable and just move. You know, it's not about being perfect. I think we do our best and we move forward with that. But one thing that was very freeing for me is I took that perfect label off of myself, trying to be perfect. I thought I'll just do the best I can and come in as prepared as possible and go from there. So I've been enjoying the journey the last few years. You know, even throughout COVID and everything going on, I thought, well, this is a nice restart button. Let's figure some things out, and you know, so it's been a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of turns in the road, and I see different turns in front of me. You know, sometimes you can wonder why you are doing something, and then the road starts to turn, and you go, oh, that's in preparation for what's happened and what's getting ready to happen now. And
right.
And you know, it is also maturity also begins to let you get to the point where you start reading. You become in the moment. You become aware of all the signs around you that are preparing for what the next step is. And then you gracefully take that next step, not knowing necessarily what the result is going to be, but you take the next step. And I think that's important. So, ladies, I'm going to let you all rest. I'm going to put you all back. I'm going to let you all rest. But I have a couple of more numbers here. I'm just going to arbitrarily pick somebody off the board. So I'm going to let you rest. But don't go away, ladies. Don't go away. Mm-mm. All right. I have a number here that I think that I'm familiar with, that I'm, and the hand wasn't up, but I think that he probably has a lot to say about getting up again and refocusing career. And so I'm going to take a chance that I know this number well enough that I can imagine that it is the person who I think it is, but, you know, you never know. You never know. Hello, this is Lenny Guthrie of Lenny Guthrie Straight No Chaser. Why don't you introduce yourself and welcome to the program.
You put me on the spot. Yes, you knew who it was. Yes, it's Franz Jones. Hello and welcome. Good afternoon, good evening. I was listening to the conversation. Great conversation as always. I think you know that I think this is an excellent show. I think that you've done very well by it. And I want to be among those that thank you for the opportunity to hear from so many different people. And how the arts has affected their lives. Not just artists themselves, but people from other disciplines who have a connection to the arts. I don't want to get too far away from the subject that you just brought up about getting up again, because you know some of the things that I've had to deal with myself. Getting up for me became a personal issue a few years ago. As a matter of fact, now it's actually 10 years. I had some health issues that literally laid me down. But I was fortunate. I was blessed, as some people might say, in the hands of the universe, in the hands of my ancestors and loved ones who were there for me and helped me to be able to get myself back up again. I literally had to start from the beginning. I had to relearn to read, to walk again, pretty much everything. It was a period where it kind of stepped back down for a short minute, but ultimately I was able to get myself back up again. In terms of refocusing, I continue to be an artist. I work in the theater, but I also work as an actor in another discipline, and that's the medical field. I almost have a new career as what's called a standardized patient. We are actors who portray certain situations and scenarios. Sometimes film scenes where we play out, I like to call it the disease of the week, but different areas of problems that doctors, nurses, and medical staff face. But I've also in that played doctors and nurses as well. But it's something that I've been doing for a number of years. I started out doing it off and on. But lately, especially since the pandemic, it pretty much has taken a lot of my career. I've been working pretty consistently. I'm looking forward, actually, to a short vacation, the first one I will have had in the last couple of years. But it's something that has continued to keep me fresh as an artist. It keeps my chops up, so to speak. And I've had the great opportunity to meet and work with a variety of actors. In terms of diversity, I think I've had a wonderful time of it because I've met people that otherwise I may have never met, some of whom have become very dear and close to me over time, some of whom I've had a chance to provide other venues for them to work with us in Essence of Acting. And It's been a great, great time. It's been a great time doing this, and I continue to try to go forward. I use what happened to inform me as to be able to move forward in life and keep an open mind. You know, like anyone else, there are times when you feel kind of maybe down or on a certain level, but I try to stay away from that, and I try to stay as positive with it as I possibly can. And that's my speaking about that. I wanted to speak about something else that you had said, or actually a question you asked about the arts and where you might want to go with the show. And I was thinking about this as I was listening to you speak about performers, and Mamie spoke of stage managers. I wanted to speak about crew. I don't think you've done a show where you've really had crew members on. The gaffers, the backstage crews in the theater. And these people are artists as well. Many of us who have gone through theater schools and universities and all of that, we went to school with these people, some of them. And these are people that may have started out to be singers, dancers, actors, directors, and at some point decided, well, you know what? I really like doing lights. I like hanging them. I like the way that it looks. Or someone that has become a props person and knows how to go out and find what's needed for a production. Or someone that knows how to do the rigging. And it would be interesting to hear them speak about how the arts are for them, the effect that arts has had on their lives. There are people that many of us have worked with who have made their lives working backstage and have never seen, but they continue to support the work that we do in front.
Well, you know, that's...
So I thought that might be an interesting show.
No, I think that that's incredibly interesting subject matter. I hadn't thought about it, and I know several. One of the things that I find is that the people backstage who really work very hard to make your life more comfortable are those people who are the crews. Whether you're on a theater set or whether you are on a television, a movie set, they're the ones who they take pride in making their set a very warm place for you to be. And you're right about that. Now I've got to go in. And I know a couple of people who do that. They stay busy. That's one of the things, because that is the job that, you know, they go from show to show. But that is one of the things. One of the things also, I knew I wasn't crazy. I knew that there was a song that Getting Back Up Again. And I think I have found this song. Hold on for a second. Everybody hold on to see if I can do this the way that I want to do. Let me see. We fall, but we get up. I don't think you can hear it.
Yeah, I know the song. I know the one of which you're speaking.
Yes. I think that one day that's going to be a theme of the show, where I think one of the most inspirational things for people, especially now, because it's a difficult time for a lot of people, It's not, you know, we are going through a lot of different changes in all of the industries as progress, you know, is taking place. People get left out of progress. Whenever we have moved forward on any kind of invention, it always replaces a human being. And some people are being left out of that equation. And it's so important, I think, that we give inspiration to people to go and find yet another avenue for themselves to open up. If the avenue that they were in before is closed off. For example, if you made CDs in a time when CDs were being made and I don't mean just in the studio, I mean the actual making of them, and then when they don't make them at that way and all of the staffing is cut back, there's got to be, because you've learned a skill, how can you apply that skill to something else to look for another kind of job? Don't give up. Keep going.
Right.
I think
it's
a very important thing, you know. I agree. I can't believe this. We have only about 10 minutes more left in the hour. What happened? What happened to the hour?
It's because that's what happens every Wednesday.
Yes, it does. But I find that, you know, that's an important thing. I think we have a responsibility to lift each other up. I think over time we've let that responsibility slip. And also people have gotten to the point that training is different. The neighborhood doesn't, you know, look after the children the way they used to. The charity to a lot of people is not the same way. We've got to bring all of that back, I think. You know, I think that we've got to bring all of that back. One of the things that I'm thinking about is there are some wonderful theaters that now and the end of June have some beautiful productions in the city. And, of course, my schedule is a little crazy. Even with the ending of this, I've promised and schedule myself up the Kazoodie a little bit through parts of June. But if I don't get an opportunity to go to the theater, what I want to do is contact some teachers, and if they're listening, some people who know students. And I want to support a student, give them a ticket to go and get that theater experience off Broadway. You know, I'm not saying I'm gonna buy you a Broadway ticket. Now, I'm not that crazy. No. But I'm going to try to navigate a reasonable ticket for you to have a theatrical experience, because indeed that's one of the things that I want to implement as I go forward in my career, as I go forward in all of the positions that I'm hoping will happen in the next month or two. Implement a program where if you cannot go to the theater, that there is a place where there are a number of names of students who have proven themselves to be interested in the theater, interested in growing, and you can contact the number of them to say, I can't go, I have a ticket, but I'd like you to go. Can you arrange that? I think that is how we develop our next generation of theater goers, because without that, we don't have the theater goers. So it is up to us who can buy tickets, who are in the theater, to think of a way to invite them into this and make it a part of their lives as it is a part of ours. So what do you think of that idea, my dear friend?
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Audience development is something I think you and I have spoken about it in the past. It's very important, especially for theater companies like ours. It's important to develop one's audience in order to have people that will come and support your work. And I think in recent times, audiences have been largely ignored. I think that a lot of theaters have agendas, but they don't necessarily recognize what audiences might like to see. But years ago, it used to be that there was a development office in a theater that would go out into the community and kind of find out who was out there and what they might like to see. And it wasn't necessarily that you just did that. You would do a show, say you did a classic or something, but then you might do a show that was more community-oriented or something that people in the community would be especially interested in. That will get them into the theater. Once they're in, then they go, oh, well, you know what? I'll come back and see this other thing because what I saw was so wonderful. Let me come back and see what else is being done over here. Again, and it was also a lot of theaters used to have adjuncts with children's theater, teenage theater. At some point, they might even do a community-based production street theater. And then some of us got our bones kind of doing street theater, literally out in the street.
Absolutely.
But, yeah,
absolutely.
I agree with
you. Proud
And
proud of it. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I think, doing theater when people were throwing things from the roof at your head. Yes, I think it's absolutely it's imperative that we take also control of the industry that we are a part of to make sure that we are perpetuated, that we have to do it. Not,
absolutely.
You know, the unions can do, they can do programs, but also there should be something that we, as members of this vast organization of artisans, whether they be performing artisans or executives or everything, make an effort to make sure that the students who are here now have an opportunity to enjoy firsthand what is being created for them and have then a say as to what they want to say and what they want to see and all that. Now, I'm going to take you off the hook. I want to thank you very much, Franz Jones.
You're more than welcome.
I thank you. I know it's been a very busy day for everyone, and I thank you all for coming out. These are some of the numbers that I recognize. I'm trying not to click on numbers that I don't. So I'm going to put you back, and I'm going to go to one more number. I think I have enough time to welcome this number and this person because I have invited them to come on, and I'm hoping that you will say your name and tell me a little bit about how you have been getting up. Is that not you, Julia?
Yes, it is me, Julia Sollingsworth, in New York. Love the shows, and I love the information that you're giving people and the diversity of experiences. I guess what I think I'd like to see from your program is maybe a talk about all the different kinds of fundamentals that is like the foundation of art. So, you know, some people do nonlinear work, some people do very linear work, and maybe someone from each of those kinds of disciplines to give an introduction into that kind of magical entry so that everyone can understand why that particular way of looking at art is important and can enrich their lives. So
okay.
I guess, so I guess like maybe there's, you know, this,
tell me what job description would you be talking about when you say linear?
When I say linear, you know, like when you're telling as a writer, you're talking about a beginning, middle, and an end. And nonlinear, I would say, oh, well, there's somebody who's, you know, basically they're telling the end before the beginning. So the beginning is actually the end of the story, and then you're telling the story, or it's out of order. And then the experience of the person is seeing all of how, why that is being done that way. So it's not just a spoon-fed way of understanding a story, but all the different kinds of ways and where it began and why it began like that. Like someone would say, understanding of Shakespeare and why it was important, or someone's understanding of, you know, Greek theater or the Black Arts Movement or the African theater and those ritual plays. So I think all of those things are valid, and not just in theater, but in art. And I know that, I mean, I know I'm throwing out there a whole lot that people can be interested in investigating, but I know that there are people who are experts in all those kind of things that would make it magical to know what was the beginning, because many times the beginning or the root, people forget that and think they're inventing something that is already taken root and that they're standing on the shoulders of. So I think the more that we can unearth the roots of this magical stuff that we call the arts, the more open and smart our arts will be. And thank you so much for doing all of what you're doing to make it a smart theater, a safe theater, a place where everyone will want to tell their story, because everybody has a story, and a story worth telling, at least one story. So thank you for doing all that you have done to tell the untold stories.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you, Julius. Thank you. Well, like so many times, ladies and gentlemen, the hour has gone and we're down to the last minute and a half. So I will say thank you for this season. It has been absolutely magnificent. I've celebrated a 2-year anniversary. I've celebrated over 100 episodes. I look forward to the next whole chapter of this journey. And I can't thank you enough for always being there. I will end this by saying, not 90 seconds, no, by saying, see you in September. So I will see you then. It's such a lovely song. I'll see you when the summer's through. So with that, I shall say thank you very much for tuning in to Lenny Godfrey's Straight No Chaser, and have a wonderful holiday season, summer season.
Everybody's got the fever. This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago. Never know how much I love you. You never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a feeling that's too hard to bear. You give me fever.